Yes. What fish?
You're contrasting a department in wartime.
Yes, that's right.
In peacetime.
Yes. Well, I think I probably made the point that that in peacetime, the department becomes far more aware of what staff of this kind might be up to.
Yes.
But in the wartime, I would say that one had enormous freedom. Actually, I would like to say at this point that one of the nice things about working for the Ministry of Health was that I never felt my wings were being clipped throughout all my period there. You can explain this in many ways. You could say that what you were doing wasn't thought sufficiently important, policy-wise, to need a great deal of supervision. I prefer to think that it was because they decided that we were, by and large, making a useful contribution, and that they had confidence in the chief welfare officer that she wouldn't involve the department in things that were clearly matters of policy that should be decided elsewhere.
Yes.
But
yes.
Whatever the explanation, I really felt that it was a wonderful department to work in.
Yes. Are you able to say that indirectly you made policy by virtue of sort of dropping ideas in the right ears at the right time and so on?
Oh yes, I would say not indirectly only, but also directly, because as the war period wore on, and I think I mentioned that I was seconded, and so were the rest of the people appointed, as the war period wore on, it became apparent, I'm glad to say, to the department, that this was an element in their professional staff that they ought to preserve for after the war.
Yes.
And the regional welfare officers began to take an interest in other services and to be consulted about other things.
Yes.
So that when, at the end of the war, it was decided to establish this service, that was a real departure for the department. They had, of course, many professional units, doctors, architects, engineers, nurses, and now they had social workers. And being who I am, I can't overemphasize what a big step this was.
I guess during the war, with this scheme, you gradually became more well known as the chief welfare officer at the Ministry of Health, and therefore subject yourself to other people lobbying or trying to communicate various ideas to you and trying to influence you in various ways.
Yes, that's very true, and I think I could say that that I had relationships and often discussions with a tremendous range of organisations, both voluntary and professional, during that period.
Because as the war period wears on, as I remember it, the country is getting more and more concerned with what was going to come after the war, and the feeling of that there was going to be a big deal for everybody, and there was going to be welfare legislation. Am I right in thinking, say, people like yourself and others would also be concerned about what shape the social services would take?
Yes.
And the place of social workers.
Yes, that was so. Actually, what happened at the end of the war, well, in 1945, was that the needs of the United Nations Relief and Rehabilitation Administration became very apparent.
Yes.
And I was asked to agree to be seconded to take charge of the child care operations in Europe, for a time.
Yes.
Now, I very much resisted this,
yes,
because I felt this was the time when I wanted to be in the department,
yes,
influencing what they were thinking,
yes,
and not out in the field,
yes,
doing an international job, however important and interesting it might be.
Yes.
But I was persuaded that I ought to do it, at any rate for a time, largely, I think, because America had had a great hand in the setting up of that organization, and a senior American social worker from the U.S. federal agency, child care agency, who had been responsible up to then for the planning of the UNRWA thing, I was to substitute for her.
Uh-huh.
And the UK felt,
yeah,
that we ought not to say, no, we won't.
Mm. Mm.
And so I very reluctantly said, oh, all right, I'll go for 3 months.
Yeah.
And the deputy secretary of the day said, well, really, 3 months is ridiculous. You,
yeah,
couldn't do anything, but we could review it in 6 months if you'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And so for 6 months I went, and for 14 months I was there.
Yes.
And, well, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the fact that I'd been so concerned with distressed, with
mm-hmm,
children in trouble in this country was conceived to be,
yes,
a basis for asking me to do this,
yes,
thing for the children, mainly in the displaced persons camps, but not exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were countries where children's needs had been terribly neglected for reasons of food shortage or whatever it might be, like Italy, for instance,
yes,
which didn't have, as far as I recollect, didn't have camps, but did have very acute child care problems.
Yes.
And so there I did my best, and again, how much better one could do it if one could only go over the ground again.
Well, it's always
the way. Yes.
But
so that's why I was missing,
yeah,
from 45, January 45, I think it was, to August 1946.
Yeah.
And I left behind me an extremely competent,
yeah,
deputy in the person of Gwyneth Wansbrough-Jones.
Yeah.
She, of course, did everything she could to hold the fort and to,
yes,
to put the pressures where that she felt they ought to be put, but it's not quite the same,
no,
as having the chief, yes, of the service.
Yeah. I mean, what were the issues you would have been trying to influence? And she was trying to...
Well, I would have been trying very much to get a better recognition on the part of the people who then inspected and advised on the Poor Law Service,
mm-hmm,
to do a very different kind of job,
yes,
on children,
yes,
looked after by the Poor Law. That was,
yes,
one very important,
yes,
thing. I also wanted to get a different approach to the care of old people,
yes,
because old people in the Poor Law institutions, by and large,
yes,
didn't have a very, very rewarding kind of existence.
Mm-hmm.
And by the, you see, as the war wore on, this was one of the services one had been looking at a bit.
Yes.
And this was one that I thought we particularly should,
yes,
make a dent in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is it possible for you to pinpoint at this date who or how or what influenced your thinking about, say the first thing you mentioned there, the care of the poor law? Children, that you wanted that all to change, don't you? I presume that's got something to do with your wartime experience with, well,
I
where did your ideas come from?
I'm trying to remember. I know that I became aware of practices in some of the poor law institutions that seemed totally archaic. But I honestly don't remember.
No.
Mm. I suppose it was just one of the facts of life, you know.
Yes.
Because I had been impressed in my earliest care committee days,
yes,
by the attitude of some relieving officers.
Yes.
Now, I think that the positive work done by some poor law officers, yes, has not been sufficiently recognized in this country.
Yes.
But the fact remains that there were some Dickensian characters,
yes,
still in that,
yes,
field. And I shall never forget, yes, going to interview, and this is my early care committee days, going to interview a relieving officer about a family who palpably hadn't enough to live on.
Yes.
And one knocked on a sort of shutter,
yes,
which went up, and the relieving officer put on his cuffs,
yes,
and said, "What do you want?"
Yes.
And I told him what I wanted, and he said, "We're here to protect the ratepayers." Plonked down. And I never forgot this. It was the worst side.
Yes.
But it existed.
Yes.
And that went for some of the institutions, mm-hmm, and of course for some of the children's homes.
Yes.
One mustn't generalize. It's never wise.
Yes.
But there was too much that was,
yes,
totally out of date.
Yes. Well, could you say this then?
I remember one hearing of one London authority where it was the custom for the poor law, for the, now what were the people called who were elected to look after the poor law?
Guardians.
Guardians, yes.
Yes.
It was the custom for the guardians to have a wonderful do,
yes,
as an annual event.
Yes.
And the guardians had a fearful blowout,
mm,
whilst the children in the institution were totally isolated from this.
Mm.
This is the kind of thing that gave one the creeps.
Yes. So it's that sort of thing that was putting in my mind that this request, say those, the O'Neill boys hadn't died, and say Lady Eleanor Hertwood had not written her letter to the Times, would there still have been a Curtis inquiry, do you think? I mean, were they right anyway to inquire into the law relating to care of children because of the experience you're all having during the war?
I should like to think there would have been,
mm,
but of course it's that sort of episode that,
yes,
touches off,
yes,
what government departments are pleased to call a head of steam.
Yes.
When you have a head of steam, you do something.
Yes.
And there was a head of steam,
yes,
about the O'Neills.
But was it part of your thinking? I mean, did you have thoughts like that going around in your mind when you saw these unsatisfactory children's homes you just mentioned? And what, did you mention it, to various people within the department, or was it sort of copycat?
Oh, well, you see, we published our report on homes for difficult children, hostels for difficult,
mm,
children, and it was very apparent in that,
yes,
that there were ways in which you did meet the needs of children, the ways in which you didn't. Now, this was nothing to do with boarded out children, as,
yeah,
they were called.
Yes.
But on boarding out, we did in fact think a lot and take some action and prepared really rather a good paper to use,
mm,
after the war,
mm,
which I may say the,
mm,
Home Office pinched and put out as their,
yes,
first document, which we found a little hard,
yes,
but nevertheless it was contained things that needed to be said, so we tried to look on the bright side.
Yes
indeed. I don't know whether I expect there would in fullness of time have been a Curtis committee.
Yes.
Whether it would have happened so quickly, I don't know.
Yes.
Because politicians and government, and of course this is politicians primarily,
mm-hmm,
are terribly susceptible,
yes,
to what they see as strong public opinion.
Yes.
And it's usually scandals that warm them up, not sensible presentation of philosophies. I find it very difficult to tell you that, yes, I thought this and that, yes, because I wouldn't like to, you know, I'm essentially a person who reacts to what comes to her.
Yes.
And I can't disentangle what came to me and became formulated as an idea from what I might have thought myself.
Yes.
It's very difficult,
yes.
And I wouldn't want to claim more than I should.
No. Did you have any connection with Curtis at all?
Well, I gave evidence to it.
Yes, on behalf of
the Ministry of Health.
I see. Yeah.
And gave them, I think, some really very useful ideas and material.
Yes.
And I always remember that the chairman, Dame Mara, said, when she thanked me for my appearance, she said, "We shall certainly want to see you again."
Yes.
Well, of course, they never did. This is what always happens with these inquiries,
yes.
You know. They feel all steamed up on the day.
Yes.
But then they haven't time.
Yes.
But that was exactly what happened.
You'd already went along with the Ministry of Health evidence with ideas about what sort of arrangements could be made or should be made.
I really don't remember what evidence I gave now, but I expect what I was talking about was our experience of the child.
Mm-hmm.
After all, they were doing children without normal home life.
Right,
well, we were concerned with children without normal home life.
Yes.
I'm sure I would have been talking about how that presented itself and what the issues were and something quite a bit about children's homes.
Yes. When somebody like yourself does a job like that, is it done in the same way as I've seen it done in small organisations, say like the APSW or BAS or something like that, where you, beforehand you get together with one or two people who you think know something of it, something about it, and say, "We're going to have to do this now, what are we going to say?" And you hammer out together what it is you think you ought to say, and then you go off and say it.
I can't remember at all, but I should be surprised if I discussed it with outside bodies.
No, I didn't mean I meant...
I would have discussed it, I think... Certainly with two or three key staff people.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, certainly.
Would they be people within the ministry, or would you also look to those welfare officers?
Oh, yes, I include them as the staff of the department, which they were. Oh, yes, I include them, certainly.
Do you have to work quickly on things? I mean, how much time do you actually have to get around, talk to people about it, formulate some thoughts, put them down on
paper? I haven't the slightest recollection. I don't suppose that... I don't really remember. I should have expected that it was some weeks.
You do
certainly
have
some weeks.
You have weeks to
I should have thought so, yes. Oh, yes, because they have a timetable after all.
Yes. My fantasy is that, you know, it's all of a sudden something arrives on your desk. And
No, I don't think it was like that. I've no recollection of having been, you know, shocked to find that next Wednesday I would be giving it. No. But because, after all, the Curtis Committee had to have a programme of who they would see and when, stretching out, you see, so no point in not telling one in good time.
Yes.
I don't remember the process now.
Yes.
But it wasn't anything that shocked me or surprised me.
No. Were you happy about the outcome of the Curtis inquiry in terms of the report which set up the training arrangements, and secondly the act that was the outcome? Is that how you...
I was happy about, very happy about their trying to do something about training ahead of the actual legislation. I thought that was good.
Yes.
And as you may know, I was borrowed for what was called 75% of my time to look after that committee and to get the training courses started.
Yes.
I was happy about that. And just to follow that piece, you may know, you may not, that when at the end of the period the Home Office was given the responsibilities for childcare, or limited childcare, The Home Office was very anxious that I should be the person in charge of their training.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I refused. I don't know whether this is suitable for the record, but there were people in the Home Office who said I ought to apply to be the chief of that service.
Yes.
And encouraged me in the belief that that was likely to happen,
yes,
which I rather naively believed.
Yeah.
And as you know, they appointed somebody from the Education Service who had no social work, yes, experience at all. An able woman, let me say, but not, I would have thought, a very suitable choice. And the Home Office had decided that I would be the person in charge of training.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I explained to them that in the Ministry of Health I had a far wider remit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might not be as grand a post, but it had enormous scope.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to, A, I didn't want to be specialized on training, and B, more important, I didn't consider I knew enough about training,
yeah,
that they should have somebody who did know about training.
Yeah.
And it was at this point that that I turned to Clement Brown and said, you know, you really should do this.
Yeah.
And she was very hesitant at the time. I don't know if she's ever said that. But she was very hesitant, and finally she agreed.
Yeah.
Yes, she agreed. Yeah. Well, now, was I pleased with the Curtis Committee report? I was pleased on this front. I thought it was good that they looked at all this.
Yeah.
And it was a very good inoculation for the committee that was appointed. They had to think about a lot of issues, yeah, they wouldn't have thought about otherwise, ahead of time.
Yeah.
But, and I always remember, the Home Office was a funny department, and the Under-Secretary in charge of this, new to it, came from another bit. Used to, of course, attend these meetings of this committee. And the chairman was a very nice, good man. I've forgotten who he was now. But he didn't know anything much about it. So, at the meetings, I used to do a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I remember after the second meeting, the Under-Secretary saying to me in a slightly stuffy way, I suppose in the Ministry of Health, secretaries to committees do take a very prominent part in the discussion. And I said, no, on the contrary, they're practically mute,
yeah,
but you need somebody.
Gosh, that's brave of you.
Well. Well, yes, it was rather funny, really. Absolutely what life is like, you
yes
know. I hadn't the courage then I have when I, after retirement, that's the
yes
time, you
yes
know, that's the time. But, however, I do remember this conversation.
Yes. Was it then that you met Letty Hufford, or did you know her during the war?
I knew her, I met her during the war,
yes,
yes.
That was in her capacity as
a woman officer, chief woman officer for the National Council of Social Service, as it
yes
then was.
Yes.
Yes. Because she had a finger in so many important pies, you know, and she was somebody I felt it very useful to be in touch with.
Yes.
And the NCSS, of course, played quite an important part then in,
yes,
for example, getting CABs set up.
Yes.
I forget exactly when they did. Yes, they did get them set up in the war, didn't they?
Yes.
And then after the war, a member of my staff went to be their first head of the CABs.
Yes. Do you have any other recollections of Letty Hufford? Because I feel that, although I've spent a couple of hours with her, she actually hasn't been able to say as much about all that she did. You know,
did she talk about her work in Chesterfield at all?
She did, but she had great difficulty in remembering it.
Yes.
Trying to look out the manuscript.
Oh, yes. Well,
What capacity she... It wasn't even clear what capacity she was employed in Chesterfield. She said she was employed by the MOH. But
oh, I don't really know. No, I don't.
No.
MOH, was she?
Yes, so that she was somehow related to the PAC, but she was employed by the MOH. In his department.
I don't know. No.
She
well,
say she was secretary of that group that produced Our Towns Are Closer. The Our Towns group. She was the secretary to that group.
Yes, the where Mrs.
Bonfield was.
The, what?
Wasn't it Margaret Bonfield was the chairman?
Yes, that's yes. Rachel, what is her name? Anyhow, the secretary was, what was her name? I don't remember. All I know is that one of my staff was asked if she could put the report into shape, which she did.
Yes.
which was one way of relating. I mean, it was very helpful, actually.
Was that something that she did in a private capacity, or was that...
I think, as far as I remember, we jolly well let her. Yeah. Because all my life, perhaps due to my original background, I've always been interested in the contribution of voluntary bodies.
Yeah.
And whenever I got a chance, when the department needed an observer on something, there was I. And I always, and you know, observers again are apt not to be very vocal.
Yes.
And I always remember Mr. Asprey of the COS.
Yes.
On some committee or other, I said, I know I'm only an observer, but I wonder if you would allow me to say X, Y, Z, you see. Mm. And he said, Miss Aves, I've never known you be a mute observer.
Yes.
And of course that's true. I behaved as if I was there, and they didn't seem to mind, and the ministry was oblivious of this fact, and I never did any damage, after all. And that went, of course, for the national, for the body that became responsible for old people's welfare, on which I served for years.
Mm. That's lovely, that story, because interestingly enough, Clement Brown told me a similar story about when she had been on, was it the McIntosh committee she'd been on? Then she got the job in the Home Office, and it was thought unsuitable that she should be on it.
Yeah.
In the end, the compromise was that she should be an observer. And somebody, the chairman, said, I wonder how long it will take you to learn to be an observer, Miss Brown, because she was always having her say.
Yeah.
Yes.
But did she? She didn't do more than observe, I guess.
No.
You see, the difference between, well, no. I won't say this one.
didn't you have a connection with the McIntosh?
I did, and you know, I was trying to remember what it was. They were awfully good. I mean, Professor McIntosh was superb.
Yes.
I did, because of course, as time went on, I was very keen, and ultimately achieved it, getting mental health accepted as one of the services that my unit in the department would be concerned with, because it started by being old people, the handicapped, anything we could pick up to do with families, which wasn't much because family welfare didn't exist as a subject, you know.
Yes.
And I felt that it was absolutely essential that the PSW element should be there.
Yes.
And finally we accomplished this. And I can't remember whether it was after the McIntosh Committee or before, frankly. But
I have a specific question about all that, because
I think it was after, probably. The Board of Control, you see, was the element, you see, although I say that I loved the Ministry of Health because it gave me freedom, the Ministry of Health also contained all the blocking elements that can make life difficult.
Yes.
Now, at the very beginning, the medical staff were prepared, or some members of the medical staff were prepared to be very difficult because they hadn't been consulted about my appointment.
Yes.
But fortunately, the then chief medical officer was a wise, broad-minded, understanding person. And once he woke up to the fact that we were there, he was nothing but helpful.
Yes.
So that was all right.
Yes.
The Board of Control had, of course, been the body, separate from the Ministry of Health, responsible for mental health.
Yes.
And this was a tougher nut.
Yes.
But in the end, and of course, not due to my activities, but largely due to the Committee on Mental Health, wasn't it, that made recommendations about the Board of Control element being part of the Ministry of Health. Then the thing all began to fall into place. And I was able to appoint one or two psychiatric social workers to the headquarters regional staff, and there we were.
Yes.
Or headquarters staff, actually, in that case.
Mm-hmm. Well, after the McIntosh report, the APSW made an approach to the Ministry of Health about the training arrangements for MWOs, to which they received no response. Do you know anything about? I mean, was that because the young husband ploy, Working Party ploy, was in process by that time, and it wasn't?
I don't remember, but I think that probably was the explanation, because after all, that was very much within their remit. I don't remember this.
The APSW have been very active in campaigning for some form of training for mental health officers since 1948, really.
I can well believe it, yes. I'm sorry, this is one of the things I just don't remember anything about. I do remember, though, that I felt the APSW was one of the organisations that really was very soundly based, and that that advice, or yes, advice that one got from that quarter should be properly attended to. They were much more, in a funny kind of way, they were much more mature in their approach to social issues than the comparable body, the Institute of Almoners. They had somehow a broader gauge and a more of a sense of where they were going, I think.
The McIntosh Committee did recommend training for mental welfare officers, didn't they?
I'm sure it did, but I can't remember.
In the report.
Well, I'm sure if I'd got as far as looking at this, this would tell us that... Oh, well, when was it?
When was McIntosh?
Yes.
About 54, wasn't it? I think it was 1954.
Because, well, I shouldn't be doing the research now, should I? But I'm sure it's...
Make the machine pause for a minute. So, well, I mean, the point I was wondering was whether, I mean, you did say just now, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was related to training and your wish, or a general affirmation of the need for training that you had. Was it you who was pushing for training inside the Ministry of Health?
Yes, that would be true, but not very effectively, I think.
Well, how did this come to be said?
Yes, well, I was just going to say that we certainly pushed for the appointment of trained people, but I can't remember that we pushed, I don't know, there were committees at the LSE that I served on that were worried about training and extending it and so on. It may be that I was pushing for it. But how this happened was that the Deputy Secretary of the department came to me one day and said, would you think it helpful if we appointed a working party to look at all this question? And in particular, would you think it helpful? Well, I did. I was all for it. And then subsequently, would you think it helpful if we appointed Miss Young Husband to chair it? And I said, I think that would be a first-class idea. And so, you know. But I can't claim to have... It really seemed so much an answer to prayer that, you know, I couldn't have thought that I would ever get away with it. But of course the Deputy Secretary was a different matter. Strong-minded party.
When I spoke to Eileen Younghusband about the Younghusband Working Party, she described a lunch she had with you and some other people in, at the Women's University Club, where you told her that you were going to set up this working party, and you know, halfway through the lunch asked her if she would take the chair, whether she would chair it. And then...
Funny way of doing it, yes.
She said that... she said, yeah, but will I be acceptable to the local authorities? And she said the thing that then impressed her was that it had already been checked out with the local authorities. That, I mean, who would do a thing?
Oh, that would be done by the administrative people.
How do they do a thing like that?
Oh, they would have consulted the association. Probably with the secretary, I think, of the association.
Oh, like the AMA and...
Yes,
and
I would think so. And the secretary might consult the chairman. I would think that would be how they did it.
Yes.
I don't know, but I would think so.
Yes.
Yes. Funny, I've not the slightest recollection of a luncheon.
Yes.
Seems a very funny way of doing it.
Yes. Invited to lunch at Women's University Club. Yes, she spoke about it very vividly. Yeah, very
yes, well, of course it would have gone home to her.
Yes.
And of course, as is always the way with departments, when she suggested that I should be the expert advisor, you know, I forget what that was called, consultant or something, the department had fearful worries over this,
yes.
Because they always want to be seen to be keeping out of it.
Yes.
And Eileen was determined, and so was the deputy chairman, Robin Hughes-Jones, they were determined that I should be in it.
Yes.
And I had to square the department that, you know, that if I were permitted to do this desperate deed, I should be very careful not to appear to be advising them on behalf of the department what they ought to do and say. This is very understandable, you know, but it's one of the things that is very wing-clipping to staff.
Yes.
I've seen it happening, you know, of recent years from the distance.
Yes.
I'm quite sure that after... the two staffs came together, the Home Office and the Ministry of Health, and they were to be deployed. I'm quite sure that the reason they did virtually nothing for some years was that the department would have said, be careful now, post Seaboom, we don't want to be responsible for what happens.
Yes.
And of course you can handle this, but it wasn't handled. I mean, I would never feel that I couldn't have got past that in the department.
Yes.
But you've got to know your way around.
Yes.
And it's not easy for people who are new to know their way around. How can they?
Yes. Yes. So, how do you...
However, this is after 59.
But it's still absolutely fascinating from the social policy point of view to hear you saying that. But what was going through my mind just prior to that was something to do really with the informal network that existed at the time that I'm concerned about. And I know you remember...
This time, you mean? Yeah.
You remember I mentioned, and before, on the phone, you said you had no memory of working with Eileen Young's husband on a made-up family situation in which they were visited by umpteen different social workers, and there was an attempt, this was 1952-53, to do something about a family social service and draw attention to the multiplicity of visiting that was going on.
I said I had no recollection.
Yes. She had no recollection either until I prompted her and produced the photocopy of the article that she... And she said, yes, I wrote that with Geraldine Aisner, but... she couldn't be in it for political reasons because she was in the Ministry of Health, is what she said.
Oh, well, I'm interested. I have no recollection of it, but certainly one of... You asked me a long time back this morning.
Yes.
Are we on or not?
Yes, we are.
You asked me if I was happy about the Curtis Committee report.
Yes.
And, of course, I wasn't happy about the isolation of the child deprived of normal home life from the family background situation.
Yes.
I couldn't feel that you could set up services in that kind of way.
Yes.
And that was something that I felt ought to have been discussed after the Curtis Committee report.
Yes.
But you see, people who serve on a committee usually feel that it is impeccable doctrine.
Yes.
And the people outside aren't given a chance to discuss it. And particularly if the secretary, in this case Miss Rosling, felt it was all perfect, if they'd spoken, they'd spoken.
Yes.
It never got discussed. Yes. And this was a major criticism from me, because I didn't feel that that was the way to start.
Yes. Mm. So, can I press you a bit more about on the network? Because someone outside and a different generation, when looking in, what the impression one gets is of actually a very small group of very influential people who were who had ties by virtue of their common interest in social work, who also had sort of social ties, just knew each other socially and could just pick up the phone and speak to each other. And I wonder how important that kind of informal network was in shaping what went on at a more formal level. For example, the fact that you and I and young husband had actually must, although you can't remember this, you must actually have discussed or...
Oh, well, and Robin Hughes-Jones.
Yes, and you.
Well, I think this is true. I think that although the committee was open to get information from a very wide spectrum, the actual discussion of where to go and so on probably was in a limited circle.
Yes.
After all, when the committee is set up, you don't discuss with outside people what the committee is going to say in the end. You discuss their evidence, but you don't say, do you think it would be right if we say X, Y, Z? Mm. You have to decide that internally.
Mm.
And Eileen may well have said that a feature of that working party was that after the discussions, she and Robin Hughes-Jones and I used to repair to some local tea shop for what they were pleased to call a strong cup of cocoa and really go over where we got to, where we were travelling to, and so on. That's quite true.
Yes.
Mm. And of course the fact that we knew one another well made it extremely easy.
Yes.
And we didn't have to. We didn't have to keep saying, don't quote me, or, you know.
Yes, that's right.
We just got on with it.
Yes. Mm. So, how did the training issue become... Well, you mentioned going back to before the setting up of the Working Party, and you said, was it the Under-Secretary came in?
Said what?
The Under-Secretary came in and said to you, do you think it would be a good idea if... Was it an Under-Secretary? I've forgotten. Anyway, some senior person
was
able to say that. Someone with clout. I mean, how did all that get injected into the Ministry of Health about the need?
Well, I think we were forever talking about the need for social workers in the local authorities.
Yes.
It was a fact of life, or at least it was an omission.
Yes.
And it was the thing that would condition all other developments.
Yes.
So long as the local authorities didn't have that kind of animal, so long they would go on.
I mean, for someone outside, who's never been inside the ministry, when you say...
You mean, why did they ever grasp it?
We were, yes, I mean... were there committees, or was it over...
No, there would have been, inside the department, you really have a very close working relationship.
Mm.
You have an assistant secretary who's the first person who concerns himself with policy.
Mm-hmm.
You have an under-secretary who has a number of assistant secretaries working to him, and then you have the deputy secretary, or at least this is how it was in my time. Well, now, my contacts with the assistant secretary would have been almost daily, forever harping on this and that.
Yes.
The under-secretary would also be a person I would have known very well and persecute from time to time.
Yes.
So that... It simply ground up, upwards.
Yes.
It didn't grind downwards then. Now, later in my life in the department, when the position of the chief welfare officer was slightly better established, it might have ground downwards.
Yes.
Because before I left, I was a member of the permanent secretary's weekly staff discussion of, you know, where the department was going, and I saw a little more of ministers than I had before. Yes. And in any way, I kind of knew better how to work the machine.
Yes.
I wouldn't like to use that expression, though, for publicity.
No. It can all be edited.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know those people within the department that you were mentioning socially as well as professionally? I mean, were they the people you could pick up the telephone door, so you might meet at a party or...
Not normally. Not normally, no. Actually, I happened to know the then deputy secretary because she came out of the same university stable that I did.
Yes.
I don't think it's a particularly effective. Well, it might have a little, yes, a little. But not for parties, no. Mm. Although I did get to know the last permanent secretary very well, and I did, there we did have social relationships.
Yes.
Which was very nice.
Yes.
But I don't think it particularly affected work, you know.
Yes. I suppose.
No, but inside the department, you see, it's a very. It can be. A very free and easy relationship. It to the outside world, it looks very hierarchical.
Yes.
To the person working in it, they're just colleagues.
Yes.
And to take the medical front, which was always important in a way, especially in a department like the Ministry of Health.
Yes.
Well, now, as I told you at the very beginning, there were people in the medical department who took a very poor view of this invention.
Yes.
Because they hadn't been consulted. Well, it was very stupid of whoever it was.